Okay. Sabbath blessings. We are in chapter. Oh no, this is not a chapter. This is page 197 of early writings. All right. Hold on. There we go. Back to normal. This one here is titled "The Death of Stephen." And again, it's page 197, the death, the early writings. All right. It starts off saying, disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem, and many of the priests were obedient to the faith. Stephen, full of faith, was doing great wonders and miracles among the people. Now think about this. He had the former reign. We're about to receive the latter rain, right? Which is more abundant than the rain that fell on Stephen or any of the apostles. Yeah, and he was a deacon. Yes, the Jewish. Oh, and I was just reading in Sister White's. I think it was in Sister White's writings the other day. I should have tagged it, like a little bookmark. But she said, especially when speaking of the remnant of her seed, the Gideon band, and even those that may be martyred, are going to resemble, emulate, walk and talk and act like, go back to the, I did a sermon on this one, it amazed me that she used this term, because I had a sermon called I got some kind of a glitch on the main site. I just noticed that. I'll have to fix it later, though. There it is. Primitive Christianity. Thank you, Brother Goran. And primitive godliness, that one too. Yeah, I did a sermon on that. And thank you. Primitive godliness, that's what she said. And so when the latter rain falls, we're going to see people literally, biblically, I mean, like the old Bible guys, the patriarchs and prophets kind of people. You know, it's like, this is where we're striving towards. This is what we are working towards. I just can't wait. If I could be part of that number, I just like, that's like when I was talking out in, when I was doing the midday today and I brought it up during the prayer about the anger thing. When that person called me today, I was overwhelmingly tempted and I did get a little short and loud with the person. But I'm a little bit more, I'm not so upset with that because of the fact that, okay, I was tempted. What he did was wrong. I had a reason to get angry. But I still should have been gentle and merciful. I shouldn't have treated him, with so much shortness. And so I was convicted, and I was apologizing to my Heavenly Father because I can't call him up. And it was strange. His telemarketing name was Gene Johnson. Can you believe that? So I'm never going to forget that guy. But literally, he's one of those guys. They have those fake, because I know I used to be a telemarketer. My name was Jim Gregory or Nick Francis. I had all these different names, right? So, anyway, I was feeling more guilty about the person the day before, because the person the day before I was short with, and I says, look, I don't want that product. So please just put me on a list and don't call me again, because I don't want that. They were selling some interest-free thing for a credit card. And I says, no, thank you. No, I don't want it. Thank you. No, please don't call me again. The very next day they call me again with the exact same product. And so I got upset. And so I felt bad about that, and I'm thinking, that's when the Lord reminded me about what Sister White was talking about the primitive godliness. And it was like, oh, wow, I was just apologizing to him about this. I says, this really makes me feel bad. Because had I been walking the way I should be walking, I would have handled it a completely different way. And okay, fine, I didn't use a bunch of four-letter words. I didn't grab the guy by the throat and shake him until his eyes wiggled. I didn't do any of that, I wasn't like the old days kind of a thing. But And I was gentle in my anger, but I was still angry, and I'm still feeling bad. And so I'm praising the Lord for helping me get better, because this is how it works. These little trials come, you fail, and they give you another one, and you get the, you know, you get better and better and better. And the primitive godliness thing is, you know, where we gotta be if we're gonna see what Stephen saw with the wonders and the miracles. You know? And so, yeah, me too, Amanda, or David, one runaway. I mean, I've done that too, like especially when I was a Catholic and they told me I was going to hell because I was a Catholic, and I would literally threaten people to kill them. I was, do you want to see your God right now? I was threatening to murder them, and I thought it was perfectly acceptable. Granted, I was never going to kill the guy. You know, I knew what happens if you kill somebody, you end up in jail. Or on an electric chair, you know. But, man, you're tempted. You're tempted to act out. And so these little tests, even though this is no big deal, I got a little, you know, I raised my voice a little bit, and I was short. But even that isn't acceptable. I want to do the wonders and miracles in Jesus' name. I want Jesus to do those wonders and miracles through me, or using me, or whatever, you know, not me, of course. What I'm saying is, I want to witness those things. And I ain't going to be able to do it if I'm terse and loud. Now, I understand about the, you know, the sons of thunder too, but I look at them moreover as like Elijah, for example, or even John the Baptist, or even Christ himself, who stood there at the base of the steps and called them hypocrites 5 or 6 times in a row, doing it in the spirit of peace and gentleness in Christ, in love, doing it in a way to get them to understand, look, you're in grave danger here, not doing it to generate hatred and debate and anger, you know? Yeah, with boldness. Because that's the thing. You're going to have that. Yeah, rebuke is not anger. Exactly. Amen. How do you make the writing bigger in the room? Hold down control and then scroll your mouse wheel up and down. But this website obviously has that turned off. I usually let it on my site. There's a way to turn it on and turn it off. You can lock the points in or let the points float when it comes to text, but obviously this site doesn't do it, because I need to do that. That's why when I preach from Ellen White's writings on Sabbath day, for Sabbath study, I do it from my server, because I can make it as big as I want. Because in here, in this thing, it just don't seem to want to work. Just, I don't know, it could be the chat room doing it too, so for all we know. Anyway, let's continue. She says, the Jewish leaders were stirred to greater anger as they I thought somebody wanted to talk there. The Jewish leaders were stirred to greater anger as they saw priests turning from their traditions and from the sacrifices and offerings and accepting Jesus as the great sacrifice. With power from on high, Stephen reproved the unbelieving priests and elders and exalted Jesus before them. They could not withstand the wisdom and power with which he spoke. And as they found that they could prevail nothing against him, they hired men to swear falsely that they had heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. See, this is one of the ways that it's going to work today, too. When you mix church and state like you see them doing back then, because they were using Roman power to kill Christ, even though they were saying it was a church thing. And so back here, in our days, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to get the civil authorities up to such a way to where they can legally get some of us killed in a guillotine simply because of our faith. You know, and that's it. All right, so she says, they stirred up the people and took Stephen, and through false witnesses accused him of speaking against the temple and the law. In other words, they used the exact same tactics against Christ. Someone did a thing on that, on the website, not on my website, but somewhere on the internet. I've seen it somewhere where, and Brother Dick shared this with me years ago too. So I never knew this because I didn't know a lot about Jewish law, but there was a lot of illegalities in the trial of Christ. I mean, there was things that those Pharisees and Sadducees knew that were totally illegal and against the will of their own church that they did against Christ during that court case, and they did it anyway. They hated him that much. So, continuing. As Stephen stood before his judges, the light of the glory of God rested upon his countenance. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. Now here you have the written word declaring this. Okay, so picture this happening today too. This is going to happen. You're going to see people standing before magistrates glowing, you know, like Moses coming off the mountain. So she says, when called upon to answer to the charges brought against him, he began at Moses and the prophets and reviewed the history of the children of Israel and the dealings of God with them, and he showed how Christ had been foretold in prophecy. He referred to the history of the temple and declared that God dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Mr. Pope, Mr. Prelate in Rome, who is trying to run as fast as he can away from this molestation scandal, by the way. But their theology is that the Catholic Church can make these little round wafers and Jesus Christ has to go in them, and so God, you know, dwells in there. When the Bible is very plain that God does not dwell in temples that were made with human hands outside the sanctuary. And this, you know, even then, the Shekinah glory was just floating there. Wasn't touching any part of that temple. So, the Jews, she said, worshipped the temple and were filled with greater indignation at anything spoken against that building than if that had been spoken against God. Just like today, the Catholic Church literally shut down 5 websites about 5 years ago because they blasphemed Mary. Or, that's what they said, you cannot blaspheme Mary, you can't blaspheme Joseph, you can't blaspheme any Catholic saint. Or any Christian saint. You can't blaspheme any human. It can't be done. You can only blaspheme a God. So, I don't know why I'm cutting in and out, but it's not happening to everybody. Yeah, you might want to try rebooting your computer or your DSL. What I found it works for me when it's going in and out like that is I unplug my DSL router, count to 20, plug it back in, and then, of course, you got to wait for it to get done shaking hands and make sure that everything's copacetic and you're back on the Internet. And if that doesn't work, then I would reboot your computer itself, which I got to do tonight, by the way. My system is acting funny. But then again, I do things with this computer that, I really overtax it. So anyway. She goes on, as Stephen spoke of Christ and referred to the temple, he saw that the people were rejecting his words, and he fearlessly rebuked them. Ye stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, ye do always resist the Holy Ghost, while they observed the outward ordinances of their religion. Their hearts were corrupt and full of deadly evil. He referred to the cruelty of their fathers in persecuting the prophets and declared that those whom he addressed had committed a greater sin in rejecting and crucifying Christ. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted and they have slain them which showed before of the coming of the just one, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers? Plain cutting words were spoken, or cutting truths were spoken. The priests and rulers were enraged, and they rushed upon Stephen, gnashing their teeth. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven, and saw the glory of God, and said, Behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. The people would not hear him. They cried out with a loud voice, and stopped their ears, and ran upon him with one accord, and cast him out of the city, and stoned him. And he knelt down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. That's a loving man. That's a man that didn't get angry when the telemarketer called him. Okay? That's because seriously, like I've been saying all along, you've got to be able to have that smile on your face even when the ATF is standing on your front porch. You know, ATF, alcohol, tobacco, and firearms, the people that killed all the people at Waco, Texas, the people that killed at Ruby Ridge, the people that kill all around this nation for the Vatican as well as this nation. Because we know the prophecy that the beast that comes out of the earth is, in fact, the United States of America, helping the beast, or the woman, rather, to do that, which she's doing. So we're no strangers to this. And this is one of the reasons they hate our guts. It's because we could tell you today what the Pope's going to do tomorrow, and that gets their blood up. It really shocks the socks off a lot of people when they read Daniel 11:37 and realize that Daniel the prophet, thousands of years ago, predicted that the men that are running things for the Vatican would be homosexuals. They would not have a desire for women. People can't understand how accurate Christian prophecy can be. So, she finishes up by saying that, I saw that Stephen was a mighty man of God, especially raised up to fill an important place in the church. Satan exulted in his death, for he knew that the disciples would greatly feel his loss. But Satan's triumph was short, for in that company, witnessing the death of Stephen, there was one to whom Jesus was to reveal himself. Saul took no part in casting the stones at Stephen, yet he consented to his death, as he later tells in Scripture, too. He was zealous in persecuting the church of God, hunting them, seizing them in their houses, and delivering them to those who would slay them. Saul was a man of ability and education. His zeal and learning caused him to be highly esteemed by the Jews, while he was feared by many of the disciples of Christ. His talents were effectively employed by Satan in carrying forward his rebellion against the Son of God and those who believed in him. But God can break the power of the great adversary and set free those who are led captive by him. Christ had selected Saul as a chosen vessel to preach his name, to strengthen his disciples in their work, and to more than fill the place of Stephen. So amen to that. But still, Stephen was the very first martyr, the very first Christian martyr. And he was blessed for it, obviously. We'll see this man again if we are faithful. And yes, the lamb horned beast is in fact the United States of America. It comes out of the earth. Earth representing one specific place on the planet. Waters, of course, representing many people's nations and tongues. But that I have there's a page on my, I should do a sermon on this. I should update the page on my site called USA in Prophecy. Yeah, I got a whole write-up. So yeah, you're right, Brother Grant. The USA is the lamb horned beast that comes out of the earth. And Christina says, Daniel, what? That would be Daniel chapter 11, verse 37. Yeah, the second beast, that's the USA. So, okay, next one here. Let me put this on the server in case y'all fall out. Hold on. And for those of you listening on the radio and on the phone, this is page 200 now of early writings, and this one's titled The Conversion of Saul. You know, the one that was standing there watching Stephen get stoned. So it says, I love this conversion, the way the Lord works this out. This is amazing. Yeah. Oh, yeah, that too. Yeah, I got that on what Dick just put in the room there. Because there was hardly anybody in the United States of America. Well, it wasn't the United States of America at all. It was just a bunch of empty land with, you know, Indians were here, but they had no real number, you know. Just mostly land. So, yeah. So, going on. The Conversion of Saul, page 200, Early Writings. As Saul journeyed to Damascus with letters authorizing him to take men or women who were preaching Jesus and bring them bound to Jerusalem, evil angels exalted around him. But suddenly, a light from heaven shone round about him, which made the evil angels flee and caused them to fall quickly to the ground. He heard a voice saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Saul inquired, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And Saul trembled and astonished, said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said, arise and go into the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. Now, I don't know if Sister White talks about this. I can't find this in Scripture, rock hard, you know, written out. But the only thing I could figure here as to what's going on, okay, Saul was leading people to death. The only thing I can think of, I don't know, maybe she does talk about this, maybe, I don't know, because I haven't read all of her writings yet. But could it be possible that the reason Saul's being picked here is because he had a zeal? He thought he was doing the right thing, and so he was judged according to the light that he was given. And with the zeal and the education that this man had, the Lord knew that this would be a mighty tool in his hands. It appears so, because the man was a killer. Even though he doesn't kill anybody with his own hands, he's delivering Christians to be slain, but he had a zeal, which he was doing it, he thought, for God. And so I just thought I'd throw that out there, because I always try to figure out how is it and why is it. But then it's overwhelmingly obvious when you see how Paul is used by God with all those epistles that he wrote. And it's also obvious as you see what the atheists have started recently, about 5 or 6 months ago. These atheists are overwhelmingly talented today. And they're having their own false revival. And it has, you know, it has nothing to do with Christianity. It has everything to do with destroying Christianity, trying to destroy it. They're ones that did that Zeitgeist movie. They're the ones that have those posters on the side of buses that say, you know, try life without God. It's a much better kind of a thing, you know. And they got this movement going on now where they've got so-called proof. And all they're doing is sharing bold-faced lies to people, supposedly proving that Paul was a false prophet and Paul was an evil man and Paul's writings should all be burned. And there's people out there, and I get at least one or two emails a week now. I am not kidding you. I got two emails this week from people suggesting I burn Paul's writings. This has been going on for months. The man's a threat. And these atheists know it. Well, the devil that controls these atheists knows. See, these atheists don't believe in God. They don't believe in the devil. But, in fact, they're worshiping the devil hand and foot. It is overwhelmingly apparent. So, hold on. All right. So going on, she says, the men who were with him stood speechless, hearing a voice but seeing no man. As the light passed away and Saul arose from the earth and opened his eyes, he found himself totally deprived of sight. The glory of the light of heaven had blinded him. They led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight. Neither did he eat nor drink. The Lord sent his angel to one of the very men whom Saul had hoped to take captive and revealed to him in vision that he should go into the street called Straight and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth, and hath seen in a vision a man called Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. So here Saul, before he becomes Paul, is in prayer and receiving a vision. And so it's obvious he's going to be used by the Lord. The man had a zeal. And so she says, Ananias feared that there might be some mistake in this matter. And he began to relate to the Lord what he had heard of Saul. But now that's just plain human nature. I mean, look who he's talking, like the Lord doesn't know this, but human nature is. You know, are you sure? Do you want me, you know, could you just picture the guy, you know? So anyway, but the Lord said unto Ananias, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake. Now, of course, by the way, those atheists and those people pushing that anti-Paul movement will never, ever, ever show you the verses that speak of Paul like this. Oh, no. Because then it contradicts everything that they're saying. here you have the written words saying from Jesus Christ that Paul is going to be used. Oh, they don't want that out there. So going on, it says, Ananias followed the directions of the Lord and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? Another evidence that baptism isn't the only place you get this Holy Ghost. All right? I mean, think of Cornelius, too, later on when Peter comes and talks to him. Holy Spirit fell on a lot of people that day, and nobody was in any water. But, of course, later, I'm sure they got baptized. So, immediately Saul received sight and arose and was baptized. He then taught in the synagogues that Jesus was indeed the Son of God. All who heard him were amazed and inquired, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent, that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews. Now, a lot of people look at that verse that says, isn't this the guy that did all this, and it never really, you know, you could just see Paul going, yeah, I used to be that guy, but now I've seen Jesus, I know what he's all about. You know, it's not necessary to go that far, of course, obviously, because if it was, it would have been in the Word. But it's amazing how you can read into this what's happening. So she goes, let me backtrack a little bit. But Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews. They were again in trouble. All were acquainted with Saul's opposition to Jesus and his zeal in hunting out and delivering up to death all who believed on his name, and his miraculous conversion convinced many that Jesus was the Son of God. So there you got it twofold. Even before he starts writing down these epistles, people are coming to Christ because they realize that only Christ, only God could do something like this. So going on, it says, Saul, his related his experience in the power of the Holy Spirit. He was persecuting unto death, binding and delivering into prison both men and women, when, as he journeyed to Damascus, suddenly a great light from heaven shone round about him, and Jesus revealed himself to him and taught him that he was the Son of God. As Saul thus boldly preached Jesus, he exerted a powerful influence. He had a knowledge of the Scriptures. The man was well educated, had many languages too. And after his conversion, she says, a divine light shone upon the prophecies concerning Jesus, which enabled him clearly and boldly to present the truth and to correct any perversion of the Scriptures, kind of like what we do, the remnant. We go out, I mean, seriously, the truths you know, even if you're as young as you are, and don't, you know, I mean, you got to be careful how you do this, too, because it's good around family and loved ones and the people that the Lord sends your way, but until you really get, you know, well-equipped with the Scriptures, I wouldn't advise hitting the street. Or, you know, we've seen people that weren't ready do this, and I can name quite a few names that are coming to mind right now that have done this, who thought they had the ability to go forth and proclaim the truths without studying it and without getting into it. I mean, Saul knew the Scriptures really well. He was a well-educated man. But when the light of truth came upon him, then he saw the Scriptures in a better light. And since he already knew the Scriptures, that better light made it easier to understand it even more so, right? I'm recording. Yeah, I know. But look at POG, I'm recording. I have to, yeah, now Bonnie falls out a lot. And so she's going to ask me again, please email me the, you know, so she falls out. And so, yeah, it happens. It's been happening with her every Friday now. So, but thanks, brother. Thank you. So, or sister, whoever sent me the PM. It's hard to tell you two apart, you know. It's like Dick and Elaine or Dave and Juanita, you know. It's just, everybody's names are all just, or Craig and Addie. So, and Stacy and James, I just noticed, too. And Scott and Ellen. We've got a few of them that do this here. All right. But anyway, he has this, oh, wow, hold on a second. These little bugs. I got these beetles. invading. But now this one comes to mind here, and it still saddens my heart when I think about it. There was this one woman who had a radio station. It was an online radio station. And she was going really well, and she was, you know, things seemed to be going really good, and she was getting a pretty good audience, and, you know, and I'll just get rid of this new bug here that just decided to fly right into my face. And she, I can't remember her name for the life of me right now, but she had a radio station, and she came across our website. Because she was always looking for, she didn't much care for the Pope and the things he was doing. So she, as her research brought her to our website, she started reading and, you know, getting into this and getting into that. And to this day, I kick myself for not warning her, because all of a sudden she had all this zeal and she wanted to go forth and proclaim this truth, this newfound truth that she had, and she hit the street, if you will, on the radio. And because she was so green, Satan knew it. He knew that he could manipulate the scriptures in a way to make it very attractive in a different direction, especially regarding Ellen White. At first, this woman was literally advertising the website, had the website links all over her site, pages from this website were on her site, every radio broadcast was talking about us, and the truth that we were proclaiming, and I mean, it was just amazing for like about 3 or 4 months, and then some Seventh-day Adventists, or no, it wasn't, I think it was Catholics, approached her and showed her what they called evidence that Ellen White was a false prophet. And then from that day forward, that woman started to slam our ministry. She wasn't ready to hit the street. She was ready to share the truth with her loved ones. She was ready to share the truth with anyone the Lord sends her away. But to go out there into the world and proclaim it on the rooftops where these people that are, you know, she wasn't ready. And so you got to be careful in this respect. But, and there's, and don't think I'm trying, please don't let it make it sound like I'm trying to stop you from preaching or teaching. No, I'm not saying that, because the Lord is going to send people to you and you'll have an opportunity, or even hit the pulpit here, you know, like some of you have done. But there's, it's just amazing how the enemy will go after you when you get out there without preparation. So, okay, all right. So she goes on to say, with the Spirit of God resting upon him, he would, in a clear and forcible manner, carry his hearers down through the prophecies to the time of Christ's first advent and show them that the scriptures had been fulfilled, which referred to his sufferings, death, and resurrection. And this is kind of like the way we preach today. I think this is the thought I was heading towards when I stopped a minute ago, and I lost track because of these beetles flying in my face. The way the Lord has got us explaining this truth we have, to this day, it really blesses my heart in this, when I see people affected by it, the way their eyes light up, and because they, you know, even though, you know, like when I first came across it and I was on fire talking, I was doing it, and a lot of people were coming, I was already, what was it? Let's see, 11, 12. I didn't know Ellen White yet, so. But I was keeping Sabbath. So I would have to say I was already 20 years. No, probably 15 years. I was already 15 years in intense Bible study. I mean, I don't know. I just couldn't get my face out of it. So like when I hit it, I was able to, you know, just like with many of you, like that came to the truth after being a Sunday keeper for many years, but you were very strong in the scriptures, and then you come into this new truth. It makes it that much easier to go forth with it. But the thing that I always liked is how these Christians, and even these really, really strong Christians, and even Seventh-day Adventists, who you would think would have known what we're preaching, come up and saying, we've never heard this stuff before. Where are you getting this? And no, they weren't saying, where are you getting this? We never knew the Bible had those in there. It's just like when I put Daniel chapter 11, verse 37 on the website the other day. Somebody sent me an email saying, you said that prophecy says that the men running things for Rome would be homosexuals. You care to prove that? You know? And so, and I, that was one of, you know, I don't think it was worded that way, but I've gotten emails like that over the years about that statement I make. And so I just send them Daniel chapter 11, verse 37, and I highlight the word he when it speaks of the beast, and then the words, nor a desire for women. And every time, 100% of the time, they're like, wow, never knew that was in the Bible. And it says, yeah, I'm not surprised. The pastors and the preachers today are not preaching. They're itching ears is all they're doing. They are demographically preaching. In other words, it's just like when you do an advertising campaign for Pepsi Cola, which, by the way, is a major fundraiser for homosexuality. Just found that out the other day. Put it on the website, too, I think. But when they do a what it's called demographic research, it's kind of like, here's a good way to explain it. William Jefferson Clinton, he did the demographics for the state of Arkansas before he ran for the office of governor. The demographic stated the overwhelming majority of Arkansas was against abortion. Duh, they're in the Bible Belt, okay? So a lot of Christians are down there. They don't much care for abortion, right? So the demographic showed that his best approach would be to run on a ticket that's anti-abortion. He won. That easy, right? And then when he decided to run for the office of president, well, he didn't have to do much demographic research there because he knew the grand majority of the states are pro-abortion. So not only run on a pro-abortion ticket, he ran on a partial birth abortion where the child is already out of the woman and then they kill it. The living being is out and they kill it. And it's no different from what these pastors are doing in these churches. They do a demographic of the people in the area. And how do you suppose they do that? Well, everywhere you turn around, they're surveying this, they're surveying that, or asking you this, or asking you that, or you go, I mean, email, for example, you know what a cookie is, don't you? A computer cookie. You go to a website, and there's a cookie. I don't use cookies anymore. I mean, there's some JavaScripting that make cookies something or here and there, but I don't look at them. I don't even, if they do it, then they got a problem. But I haven't done JavaScripting in years. I've redesigned the main page on the site where there's only the JavaScripting that I want for the peel, you know, that thing that peels down on the top right. And, of course, the pop-up that says, hey, it's Sabbath. And that's about it for the JavaScripting now. I don't do much of that anymore. But these cookies, you go, for example, this is what I was trying to explain to this one young man who was using his mother's computer to surf porn websites. And because his mother contacted me and says, you know, I think I got a virus or something. I says, why? Because I knew her and I knew her sons, right? And I says, why do you think you got a computer virus? She says, all these pop-ups are coming up on my screen and they're loaded with all this disgusting pornography. I says, sorry, you don't have a virus. That's a friendly Trojan that's cookie-based. It's what it is someone in your household is frequenting pornography websites. And if you go to these porno websites, they cookie your computer and they more or less do demographic research as to what type of, like if you go to a bunch of homosexual pages, you're going to get a bunch of homosexual pop-ups. Even when you're not surfing the internet, if your computer's hooked up, she says she's sitting down, she's not even surfing the internet, and comes up. I says, yeah, that's how these things work. But yeah, we finished the chapter. We're done for the night, too. It's like 3 minutes to 11. But this demographic thing is, I don't even know how I got on this topic. Well, yeah, the churches, they do the same thing. You go to a bunch of websites, and your computer is more or less telling the cookie what sites you frequent. And those sites are in connection with the other sites. They're all doing this together, the mainstream ones like Pepsi or Tide dishwasher, clothing detergent, and, you know, all the main brands and stuff like that, any kind of, and like, or even like Menards or YouTube or Newegg or any kind of mainstream websites that you buy and sell things from, eBay, for example, and or PayPal, same thing, they're the same owners. They all communicate back and forth with each other, and they can very easily see where you live by the zip code, you know, by the location of your ISP. And so they don't have to know who you are. They just know that in this particular region of Texas, let's say, you've got a million people, and the overwhelming majority of these people like this particular product or that particular TV show or that particular music or whatever. And so that's where they concentrate their efforts on TV commercials or these pastors generate specific sermons for. They keep the sermons in an area they know the people in their region will be entertained by. As Jesus said, they're preaching to itching ears. And they're doing it scientifically. And so, then that's something strange. Yeah, entertainment. Yeah, and you know what this one preacher did this the other, like a couple, 3 weeks ago, I put it on the site, one of these articles. He was talking about a preacher that needed some lessons in this or in that on how to keep the audience. Or no, he says they were doing some other technological thing on the stage. I can't remember what it was. They were doing something on the stage while he was preaching or something like that because the guy didn't have the ability to what they called preach or tain. Okay, this I'll put it in the text chat. This is what he called it. Preach or tain. Or preachertainment, exactly. He says he wasn't able to preachertain and he didn't give good preachertainment. Yeah, Karina, just go ahead. Yeah, I probably would have to call. Well, give me your phone number, Karina, and I'll call you when we're done here. So, but yeah, it's just, that is so overwhelmingly blunt. That they're not Christian pastors. It's just like that one pastor that Tim had a problem with where Gail fell down in their parking lot and broke her leg in two places. And this guy was, you know, not very nice and then used foul language when he was talking to Tim on the phone. It's like, and this is a pastor. It's just amazing. What this world's coming to. Oh, yeah, that's right. An end. And so, yeah, me and Fran were talking about that earlier today. We're getting more and more, you know, like some of the people that used to think, oh, okay, I believe we're getting close to the end, but I think it's going to be our kids that are going to see it more so than us. And, you know, some of us here may even think that too, but it's looking more and more like, you know, it's getting really bad now. Oh, no, we didn't have a, yeah, no, I finished with his sufferings, death, and resurrection. That's all we got on my screen. Yeah, I did it. I finished it. So.